Hi, this is Tom Parrish. I'm the editor of Distribution Center Magazine, and today I'm interviewing Chad Pilbeam, who is the creator of Beer Logic. Now, you may wonder, what is Beer Logic? And that's going to be my opening question for Chad. But I promise you this, it'll be an entertaining session. Stay with us, and you'll learn very quickly why Hardy has hired Chad at least three different times for their presentations. So, Chad, tell me or tell our listeners, what is Beer Logic?
Well, first of all, Tom, thanks for having me. This is always fun to be able to share the words of wisdom. A lot of people talk about in wine there is wisdom, but I find it in beer, and a lot of people they'll suggest that beer logic is an oxymoron, and quite the contrary, though. It's turned out to be a very eventful and fun circus of traveling affairs where I get to talk about whatever subject is important to the audience and to associations and businesses, and relate it back to the world's most popular alcoholic beverage, which is beer. And beer has one of these common threads that transcends and translates through so many different people's personalities, their educational background, their finances. It doesn't matter what sect of life you come from. Beer has some sort of a resonance with whether or not you're, you know, low, medium, or high income, whether you're highly educated or poorly educated. The thing is it's a common thread that brings us all together. And so being able to talk to an audience about what's important to them and relating it to a subject that brings people, quite frankly, a lot of humor and a lot of joy and commonality is really what it is. So it's my way of turning any discussion into a discussion about beer with the philosophy that everything I ever needed to know, I learned from beer.
I have the advantage, and this is one of the reasons why I'm talking to you, is, and we're going to come back to this. I have a few more questions, but what you also do in your presentations is actually also relate the business lessons learned through the beer industry. And we'll return to that in just a second, but you're doing your third Hardy event in June. How did Hardy come into the picture?
I got to tell you, it was one of those weird days, you know, where you're sitting around and you're doing planning for upcoming events, and you're wondering what your next opportunity is going to be. And that's maybe one of the lessons that I always like to share in my Beer Logic presentations, is you don't know where your next opportunity is going to come from, and so you need to really be prepared. And most of my marketing has been done based on content and just organic growth. It hasn't been on paid search or anything like that. I've really been fortunate to be able to just have content that resonates with people, and people get excited about it. And Hardy found me via an organic search, and when the phone rang, I answered it. And I know that doesn't sound really exciting. It's like, oh, wow, he picked up the phone. Wow, what a skill set this guy has. But I picked up the phone, and I answered it. And I think what makes people successful in being able to get that next opportunity is knowing your story. And so I didn't know who was on the other end of the line. It could have been somebody calling me just to ask me a question about, you know, web services. It could have been a telemarketer. It could have been somebody trying to sell me insurance. Who knows? But it was somebody who said, hey, I'm looking at your website. Tell me a little bit about your presentation. And if you can tell your story in a way, and this is one of the things that I think, again, resonates with the presentation, is having a really good story that you can say concisely and it directly relates to what the audience wants or what the outcome is that Hardy was looking for. And so the first thing I always did is I said, tell me what your objective is and what you want this to be.
So what you're really doing is asking the person to tell you how you should sell them.
Exactly. So what I hate the show up and throw up model of sales.
Mm-hmm.
When somebody just says, okay, tell me who you are and why we should hire you. Flip it around, and I say, well, I don't know that you should. I always ask, tell me what your desired outcome is, and I'll tell you whether or not I can meet that need.
Yep.
Because there's no point in both of us wasting our time talking about things that aren't important. So that's really how Hardy came into the equation is they called me. I answered the phone. I know that's anticlimactic, but it's being able to tell a story after asking questions.
You've already alluded to it partially, but when someone hears you speak, what are some of the main takeaways or principles from your presentation that you hope they've garnered?
Yeah. Well, first of all, the premise is, and I probably need to set this up with how the whole thing kind of got started, and I'm not going to go too deep into the history here. You may ask me that later. That's fine. But when somebody said to me, hey, Chad, we need an idea to make our conference a little different. Do you have an idea? I said, yeah. I said, you got people who show up and they listen to presentation, watch slideshow, and it goes on and on and on. And what happened was I started to recognize and look at industry data, and they say only about 20% of the information is actually retained. And I said, well, what are we going to do? I thought, I got an idea. How about we go ahead and let everybody drink while I present, and we'll go ahead and lower that retention rate by killing as many brain cells as possible. And of course, that didn't sell really well. Of course, people started, wait a minute, where are you going with this, Chad? And I said, actually, the inverse is what I'm hoping to have happen. I want to create a unique event that people remember. And so that's the first takeaway from my presentation is be original, and that's kind of a generic statement, so I always use be interesting, relevant, and exclusive. That's my main takeaway is I want to be interesting where I get your attention, relevant where it applies to what you're talking about, and exclusive in that no one else is doing it. And for that reason there, you'll remember the information. But that's a principle that you can then take and apply it in your everyday business, whether it's HVAC or distribution and warehousing or management or finance and purchasing. It doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. If you can take that principle and apply it, that's one of the principles. The other is I encourage people to be bold and take risks. And the main reason for that is that so many people we look at in the world have taken risks, failed, picked themselves up, succeeded, and we use them as the models and the examples for what we should be doing in business. And then as soon as we get the opportunity to do something bold, we cower up and we fear it, and we're afraid of that risk because we may fail.
Should people worry about being offended by your presentation? I mean, not everyone drinks beer, right?
Right. That's, I had a customer one time, engineering firm, and they said, not everybody in our group drinks, and we're worried that you may offend some of these people. And in fact, I had one guy, he was worried I was going to show up drunk and do the presentation. He says, you drink during these presentations, right? And I said, well, yeah, of course we do. We get to sample beer while we're doing it. And that's really the key. I want to make sure we put that little caveat in there. We're not drinking to get drunk. We don't do that. What we do is I want to go ahead and involve all of your senses as much as possible. So not just listening, but go ahead and get your taste buds involved. So we're sampling. I've had some people actually raise some concerns with the idea of bringing beer into an intellectual or what some people consider motivational. I don't consider it motivational. I just consider it a dose of reality.
Mm-hmm.
Discussion. And first of all, it's a PG/PG-13 environment. Mm-hmm. So, I kind of use a George Carlin-esque approach to being bold and in your face and holding you accountable and saying that which we're all thinking, but without all the curse words and F-bombs that he tends to litter his comedy with.
The seven deadly words you can't say or something like that.
That's right. The seven words you can't say on television or on radio. That's right. So, I think there's a colorful way to be able to speak boldly and directly without having to degrade yourself down to the to the sewer trash of profanity.
Why beer? Certainly wine is, you know, people sniff all the time about scotch. So how'd you settle on beer?
Well, first of all, go with what you know. I know beer. So
okay.
it helps It helps if you're going to do a presentation on a topic that you actually know something about the subject. And I can tell you that my my experience, and I get asked this all the time, it's like, hey, why don't you do wine logic or cigar logic? And I said, well, first of all, I said, my knowledge of wine is really what I gain by reading the side of the box which I squeeze it out of. And I said, that's not my
sure.
wheelhouse. And I guess that would be another another takeaway from one of my presentations, is that if you're going to do something, do the one thing that you know how to do and just excel at it. Be 100% better than everybody else in your market at one thing rather than being 5 to 10% better at 10 things. Because people don't recognize a 5% difference. Yeah, he was about as good as this, or
yep.
yeah, you know a little bit about this. So that's really the first thing. But the other thing is I find that beer tends to translate to so many more people. I think if you check with the population, I mean, I know these statistics for beer. It's 66% of the world's population. This is the world's population.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of non-drinking population out there. But 66% of the world's population drinks alcohol. 89% prefer beer. That's a pretty high
wow.
margin. And, yeah, and so when you consider that, and then you say, okay, well, how many people smoke cigars? Or how many people drink scotch?
Yep.
You're like, well, that number gets a lot less.
Yep.
So number one, know your product. Number two, find something that resonates well with a large audience.
You wrote a book called Most of Us Are Pretty Dim Bulbs, A Guide to Corporate Nonsense. What inspired you to do that, and how did you go about writing it, Nut?
Well, there was no shortage of time. That's what happened. I started a blog, and I was just doing this on a daily basis. I was writing a daily blog about some aspect of the corporate world which drove me insane. And I used to be at a fairly high level in the corporate world. I worked for 13 years climbing the proverbial ladder,
mm-hmm.
butt-kissing my way all the way to the top. And I found that the higher I got, the more cynical I got. And so I'd have all these examples, these real-world examples. And people started asking me, you know, hey, that's kind of funny. You ought to write something about that. You ought to blog about that. And somebody even said, you ought to write a book. And I said, nah. So I wrote a blog. And one day, and nobody was reading it, really. It was just a couple of friends. And one day, just about a coincidence, I was invited into the office. And there was the human resource manager. And they invited me to be successful elsewhere. Translation, turn in your badge. You've been let go. You can keep showing up. We're not going to let you in the door or send you checks anymore, but you've been fired.
Is this because of your blog?
No, actually, no. It was just an email that was going to a couple of friends. I didn't have a public blog at all.
Okay.
It was just something I was sending, you mm-hmm. know, personally, just saying, writing about it. And it was destined to happen. It was a long time in the making.
Sure.
And I knew it was coming. So while I was looking for a new job, I decided I was going to get up every single day as if I had a real job. I'm going to get up at 5 a.m. like I normally do, and instead of going to work, I'm going to write another entry.
Mm-hmm.
Well, after about 200 days of not finding a job, I decided time to start my own company. And oh, by the way, take a look. I got all these entries here, and I put it together into a book. And Most of Us Are Pretty Dim Bulbs was formed. That's how I went about writing. I took advantage of that time that I had, rather than just sleeping in and saying, I hope somebody calls and gives me a job today, or I better polish up my resume and go out and knock on doors. I just kept honing that craft of writing. And frankly, a lot of that writing is what turned into eventually what became Beer Logic.
Yours isn't obviously a typical career path. I suspect you, I mean, what kind of questions, for example, or comments do you get from people who find out what you do?
Well, yeah, you're right. It, to suggest that this is a career path I intended, like, you know, you're 8 years old. It's like, what do you want to do when you grow
right.
up? Yeah, I want to be a professional beer drinker. Yeah, that doesn't really come up in conversation. And quite frankly, my guidance counselor would have advised me against this route. So, but yeah, it's... it's one that raises a lot of eyebrows. And people say, first of all, everybody assumes it's great and it's glamorous. They're like, I want that job.
Sure.
To which I immediately suggest that if that's the case, you need to take a look at your income. You need to take a look at your self-esteem. You need to take a look at your career path and all your friends and family who've looked up to you and literally throw it into the wind, you know, with reckless abandon, because it's not a career path that most people, you know, it might be something that people cynically and sarcastically joke about. I get a lot of questions like, how did this happen? And what it is it took a lot of business opportunities and failing, and also realizing that there was some passion in there for aspects of business that I really liked.
Mm-hmm.
And I pulled those out into stories and related them to beer. When I started doing that, people started seeing, wow, you really do have a passion for this idea and that idea. But my gosh, man, can you stop talking about beer? And that's really, you know, how I got into it. But a lot of people will ask me, they'll say, I want this job. And I
sure.
You know, for the first 3 years of me doing this, it was nominal income. It was just very, very, very low. And now things are just starting to go where I feel like there's an audience for this, and it's been really taking off and growing organically, as I said earlier.
You know, I know men in particular, we always use probably too many sports analogies, but we both know that you always see, or people see, the final, you know, performance or that game or whatever, and what they don't see ever is the hundreds of hours, or thousands, more accurately, maybe, where people are actually you know, practicing and getting to the point where they got there. You have a business that is more than just talking about beer. What else do you do?
Well, how I got started was doing work in sales and marketing.
Mm-hmm.
So in my corporate world, I like to tell people I pretty much had every job level and every opportunity to do sales and marketing, whether it was with people, services, or product, whether it was management or subordinate. You know, campaigns or just short-term things. So I've had that opportunity. And when I built my business, I took a sales contract, which gave me a marketing opportunity, which gave me a speaking opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized that there are a lot of businesses out there that can't afford a large PR department, can't afford a large marketing department. And so some of the work that I do and I get contracted to do is go in and be the bold voice to speak out and give those bold ideas to help people with small marketing budgets come up with new ideas for how to either rebrand a product or launch a product. And so a lot of people say, oh, so you're a consultant. I don't like the term consultant.
Mm-hmm.
I just that term really just drives me insane. I like to say that I'm the voice of reason. I'll come in and I'll tell you exactly what you need to hear. And if you don't like what I have to say, then don't pay me. And frankly, that is my business model. That's how I got so much work. I told people, I said, I'm going to come in and I'm going to give you some really bold ideas. If they don't work for you and you don't like what I have to say, you don't have to pay me. And people thought that was a joke at first. But again, that kind of goes back to the be bold, be interesting,
yep,
relevant, and exclusive.
You're willing to risk your time and effort. I should mention that, you know, and there's certainly, you have a great sense of humor, and there's a lot of humor in Beer Logic, but again, I've had the advantage of actually being in one of those presentations, and what you also do is truly use the some of the inane approaches to solving business problems that you heap on the large brand name beer producers, if that's the right term, and you see
true.
some of the silliness and just like, can you believe at that level that's what they're doing? So there is, I mean, if anyone thinks this is just a comedy hour, of course, they'd be dead wrong. There is a lot of comedy around a very serious subject, and in a previous conversation, I said to you that, you know, no matter what people say, especially when money's on the line, business tends to get very serious. And it's always nice to have a presentation, which I will say, you and I have no financial connections whatsoever, was one of the most original and creative presentations I have had in the 17 years that I have covered this industry.
Thank you.
Well, it was just true.
Here, thank you.
And I also thought the timing was perfect because we ended the day with you rather than start with you at 9 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, I was going to say, Chad Pilvey and Beer Logic at breakfast generally means that people aren't going to show up for lunch because we're drinking beer, folks.
It's
part of what makes the show.
I want to read. I know you'll be writing an article for us for the Hardy magazine. I want to read what your tagline is. I don't really do this mostly, but I do it not to pander to you, but so that any listener would have a sense of how you think about this stuff. And what you wrote is Chad Pilbeam is a demotivational speaker, professional beer drinker, and failed soccer professional who has never given 110% effort to do anything because he understands math. The founder of Beer Logic Conferences and Events and Accidental Success Media, Chad frequently delivers keynote and topical presentations for companies who are looking for an alternative to a typical motivational talk. He resides just outside of Houston, Texas, with his wife and two children. Your email address is cbo@chadpilbeam.com.
Yeah, it's okay. You know, it's one of the most misspelled names in the English language.
I'm fumbling. Why don't we make this easy? Why don't you share your phone number with our audience?
No problem. Sure. So, yes, you can follow me at Chad Pilbeam, and Pilbeam is P as in Peter, I-L-B as in Bravo, E as in Edward, A-M, Mary. And so my email address is CBO, that's Charlie Bravo Oscar, at ChadPilbeam.com. And, of course, you can find me at ChadPilbeam.com or BeerLogic.net.
And your phone number?
Phone number, 281-746-0449, right here in Houston, Texas.
And if all that fails, anybody listening can just contact me, Tom Parrish. I'm the editor of Distribution Center Magazine, which is Hardy's official publication, so I'm pretty easy to find. I really appreciate it. Again, I want to suggest to anyone who listens to this, who has an opportunity either under the Hardy umbrella or any umbrella for that matter, I highly recommend they attend your session. And secondly, time is always valuable to all of us. You've given me almost a half hour, I think, and I want to thank you very much for giving me the opportunity.
Absolutely. Thanks, Tom.